This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Islam, don't.
Islam is a principle. Islam is a comprehensive system. Islam is a law. Muslims, say La ilaha illallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you're watching Islam Dunk, and we are joined here live in Toronto, Metro City, Journey of Faith Conference 2008, Brother Yahya Ibrahim.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All the way from Australia.
Yes, Perth, West Coast.
Alhamdulillah. Just in 2 minutes, just a little bit about yourself, your background.
Well, I was born and raised in Toronto. Grew up here my whole life.
So you're Canadian?
Very much. Vive le Canada. Very much a Canadian. I've been in Australia for 6 years now. Almost 6 years. Married to an Australian, or someone born in Australia, of Turkish ancestry. So it makes my two children, they're Egyptian, Turkish, Canadian, Australians.
Amazing.
Yeah,
mix.
It's an amazing world.
Yes.
SubhanAllah.
Can you tell us a bit about what you're doing right now?
Well, fortunately, the brothers at the Journey of Faith conference, they invited us to have a little bit of input into our life. I look at it as a spiritual development for myself, but hopefully for the thousands of people attending, something that could be a benefit to them, to bring them closer to the message of Muhammad, the peace that he brought, the serenity that he brought to the hearts. And, you know, Allah tells you in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُ الْقُلُوبُ, is not the only way to bring serenity and peace to the heart through his remembrance, to thinking and pondering about why it is we're here and where is it all going to. And that's life.
So let's get into the core of this interview. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The West has a very different image, a very, I would say, distorted image at some points. Not everyone, we can't generalize, but we find throughout the media, throughout very recently, you know, with the Danish cartoons and some of the propaganda has been moved around. We find that the West is somehow ignorant of who this man was. If a Westerner comes, a Canadian, and asks you, tell me who was Muhammad in 2 minutes. Tell me who is this man that you guys love so much that you get mad over, you know, a cartoon. We don't get mad if someone draws a prophet or, you know, why this love for him? Who is this man?
Well, believe it or not, they don't know much about him because of our failure. And as Muslims, for a lot of us who live in Canada, we came from migrant backgrounds. And our parents come from regions in the world where it's better just to stay in your home and be quiet because you don't want to bring attention to yourself. You don't want to share things. And it carried on in society. So our elders in the community did a great part in bringing about mosques and places for you and I to learn and to meet about Islam. But now it's important for us to be more vocal, because in the climate of terrorism, which we live in, you know, after, you know, horrific criminal acts being committed on broad, large, regional scales, such as September 11th or Madrid or London, you have to question, where are the Muslims? Why haven't they spoken out? And one of the key issues is what they believe in. And Muhammad, as to us as Muslims, he was the walking Quran. He was the word of God, the revelation of God, walking amongst us, teaching us how to live, how to eat, how to do everything we do in life. What to do as earn as an income, what not to. Everything in our life is based on the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God the Most High, put into existence through his tradition. So who is Muhammad? 2 minutes. He's a man, flesh and blood. Ate, drank, walked amongst people. He wasn't more significant than others. In fact, he was illiterate, couldn't read and write. But he was a person of purpose, of honesty and truth. He was chosen by God out of the people that he lived amongst to lead a nation that came out of an ignorant, illiterate society that had no significance in the world prior to it, to become the most dominant force that the earth had seen for generations, that governed the earth from Spain to China, from Siberia to the depth of Africa. It came from a man blessed by and touched by God to spread a message of peace. The message of Muhammad was a message of peace, and as such you see that the variances we find in our society today, where terrorism and militancy and things that lead away from the path of the Prophet ﷺ, you find that as a blatant contradiction. And that can only be made known by your programs, and we hope Allah blesses your program and gives you insight into your efforts and brings you closer to the righteous way, so that you have a positive impact and let people know Muhammad was a man who came to teach people to love God, who came to teach people to be fearful of God when their conduct was away and assuaged from the way that he commanded. Muhammad was a man who loved Allah, who loved God, and God loved him, and that shows in the nation that is built around his name.
If a non-Muslim comes to you and says, I don't believe Muhammad's a prophet, prove to me that Muhammad's a prophet, how would you point them in the right direction? What would you say? What kind of arguments would you use or proof?
Proof is faith. And you can't convince someone to have faith in something. That's something that's in the heart, that's placed there out of rational insight. They're rational, they look at history truly. Out of sincerity, they're not biased to begin with. Third, out of correct information being given to them, they're not reading something corrupted. And fourth, out of unembellished practical experiences that they have with people who follow Islam. And at times you'll find a person who's read all the right books, who knows more about Islam and the history of Islam and the Prophet of Islam than many Muslims, but the experiences that he had when he went to a mosque or met a Muslim, or how he was cheated or how he was dishonored, led him away. And finally, all of that doesn't matter if Allah does not want faith to enter into that man or woman's heart. So it's not that we want to evangelize the world.
Right.
Muslims, we're not evangelists. But we want people to treat us with a sense of love, admiration, and fairness, and to make us from those who are accepted in the society that we live in. As a Muslim or a non-Muslim, I want to be treated and governed under the law as one. And that's really what we aim for as Muslims living in Western societies. I don't want anything more than what everyone else has been given.
The importance of the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Why is it that Muslims are so attached to it? And what's the significance of the Sunnah in Islam?
The word Sunnah is in itself, from the Arabic language, is significant. Sunnah, it means that which is constant or which is habitual. It's something that is a reoccurrence. And we establish things that were reoccurrences in the life of the Prophet. Things that he didn't just do once, so it wasn't by chance. Things that he did constantly, day in, day out, week in, week out, monthly, yearly, till he died, peace and blessings be upon him, and all of the prophets that came before him. So if it was so significant that he would repeat this thing so often, and tell people to do it, and he himself doing it, it's got to have some spiritual or physical benefit. So whether it's a tangible benefit or a spiritual benefit, there's got to be some good in it. Or else it wouldn't be a sunnah, an oft-repeated act of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. So the more you come closer to the sunnah, the more you live your life according to his way of life. And the more you live your life in his way of life, the cleaner your life becomes. You guard your tongue, you're not slanderous, you're not lying, you're not cheating, you're honest in what you say, you're careful with what you look at and with people's property, your hand doesn't touch what doesn't belong to you, you're generous, you're giving, your conduct with people is exemplary. And that's what the Prophet Muhammad called it.
the youth today are having questions about the sunnah. Are they supposed to have a beard? Are they supposed to wear a thobe? Are they supposed to use miswak? Are they supposed to wear a kufi? Is this sunnah something that, you know, a Muslim should portray throughout? You know, is it like by wearing a thobe, by using miswak? What's your say on that?
Okay, sunnah is the spirit and heart of Islam. It is the wisdom that the Prophet used to show people how to live the Quran. Its basis is not simply the miswak or the length of the beard or the length of your clothing or what clothing you wear. The Prophet wore what other people wore. He wouldn't wear the clothing they wore for religious services. If something was a religious garment that they wore for shirk, he would never wear that. He was different from the society that he was in terms of their religious devotions and their acts of worship, to dignify the way of Allah and the way of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. But what is meant by sunnah is the overall, overwhelming character of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. So we lead people, we don't say to people, you are not on the sunnah of the Prophet if you don't use the twig to brush your teeth. That's not what's meant, and that was never the intention of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, solely. Yes, we recommend to people to clean their teeth, to brush their teeth. And if you have the ability to be living in a land where the root of that tree, which is a tree medically proven to fix gingivitis, to remove plaque, if you have the ability to use that right proper branch and root of the tree, then use it. Otherwise, use something that acts in a similar mode.
Like a toothbrush today.
So the intent for you is, don't go to the mosque with your breath and breath stinking, right? Go with nice minty breath, brush your teeth 2-3 times a day. Don't let your teeth fall out because of your negligence of the habitual habit and custom of the Prophet to cleanse his mouth 4, 5, 10, 15 times a day.
No garlic breath,
right? Cut that out.
Alright, on the same issue of sunnah, when we're involved in da'wah, people have researched Islam a bit and have read through the Quran. They ask us, how come the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, was allowed to do certain things that the Ummah, the whole Ummah at large, the whole Muslims are not allowed to do? How come he had some exemptions for some things? What are some of these things then?
Well, the exemptions are not given to himself. It wasn't something he gave to himself. They are limited in scope, very few in number. And they had reasons. For example, marriage. As Muslim men, we are confined to marrying one wife. If we are in need and in capability of having more than one under right conditions and with the right reasons, and in many parts of the world, it's a fact and reality and a necessity, then it's permitted. The Prophet did not have a finite barrier. For us, it's 4. For him, it wasn't 4. When you see the women the Prophet ﷺ married, when you see the reasons behind them, you find very easily that it was not out of lust, it wasn't out of desire. Some of them were too old to sustain themselves. Others were from a tribe that was just entering into Islam, who needed political clout with him. Others were to bring peace between two warring tribes. All of that had a basis and a reason in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are specialities for him, but they are in things that are defined and given to him by Allah as a command upon him, not something out of self-choice.
Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Western mindset, the Orientals, have spent quite, you know, a lot of time. There's actually a lot of my very prolific have written many books on Prophet Muhammad and William Muir and other, you know, Orientals who have spent their life researching Prophet Muhammad. And a Muslim would wonder, how come these people who have spent so much time, some of them have learned the Arabic, have traveled to Arabic lands, and have written so much about Prophet Muhammad, how come they did not see or did not, you know, embrace the beauty of Islam?
Allah tells you in the Quran, There are people who are dumb, deaf, and blind. They can see, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts that they can't really have a conscience with it. لَهُمْ أَعْيُنْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا. They have eyes they see with, but they can't really see. And they have ears that they can't really hear with. Meaning that their heart wasn't touched. That what they read didn't go down into their heart. It went through their eyes, rationalized in their brain, but it stopped there. And that's why initially when we were talking earlier, I was telling you, it all matters on that touch that comes to you in the heart. Where God, Allah, opens your chest to for you to recognize what you come to believe to be the truth. Now, a person who comes at it from a scholastic point of view, and is just there to critique and to analyze and to write and to further their academic credentials in their career, is not always fixated on the truth. You'll find that for a great many that there are atheists who lead heads of departments of religious studies in many of the universities around the world.
So it's basically the sincerity of a person looking at...
It's not the sincerity, they just haven't been touched by it. They have not felt what an illiterate person would feel. Some illiterate people, you will command them with one thing, do you know who God is? And they want to know. Other people will write novels on who God is, but they don't really care about it.
Our Christian friends, when we engage in dialogues with them on the case of Prophet Muhammad, they often bring a question, which is, so many prophets, actually most of the prophets came from the lineage of Isaac. How come now, you know, Prophet Muhammad, supposedly the last prophet we say, was from the lineage of Ishmael? Why? How come so many prophets just from that line? You know, they say, no, all the prophets are supposed to come from Isaac's line.
Well, two things. Both lines go back to Abraham. So, either way, it doesn't make a difference. Third, if he wasn't from any of those lineages, but he came with the truth, what's the difference?
So it's not about...
How does it matter to me if 3,000 years ago that was the grandfather of the, you know, the great 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 grandfather? How does that matter? If the truth is the truth, and if you see the message is the truth, and if you see it calls to what is good, it calls to prayer, it calls to fasting, it calls to devotion, it calls to sincerity, it calls to humbleness, it calls to charity, it calls to generosity, it calls to abstinence. You see all this. Don't judge it by the concept of simply lineage. But in fact, lineage is also important for us as Muslims. And the Prophet of Islam, he said, Al-Anbiya'u furtun min 'alad. The Prophets are all paternally linked in their relationships. Ummahatum shatta, their mothers are from different tribes and people. Wadinum wahid. But what truly links them is that their religion is one. So what Isaac called to is the same as what Ishmael called to, because it was what was Abraham calling to and Moses calling to and those who came before them and after them. The one way is the way of worship of God alone. Don't worship none with him. Don't take partners with him. Don't make equals to him. Don't make intermediaries between you and him. That was the message of all the prophets.
Another very popular issue that people bring up today is the attack or the accusation that Prophet Muhammad was a very violent man. He led many wars. And he attacked people, he attacked caravans, and he fought. And that's what people try to pick up from his biography.
The Prophet ﷺ lived in a time where power and might were what governed. They were what mattered. And it was either fight to survive, or you will perish. It would be similar to someone judging the Jewish people today by Moses having killed a man. Right? That's not a reflection of Musa, peace and blessings be upon him. It was as he said, as Moses said, as Allah records to us in the Quran, min amal shaytan. That's an act that is devilish. It wasn't the right action. So, and that was before the message of Musa was delivered to him by Allah, by God. For a person to hold account of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, due to people invading his land, invading his city, and fighting against him, and overlooking the 13 years of patience and sacrifice that he endured, and the hostility endured in Mecca, in overcoming the hardships that they inflicted upon him, with peace and abstinence, and not acting in the way of his grandfather Abraham and smashing the idols, but being peaceful and practicing of faith, and then moving to Medina, and then being attacked there, and defending himself, and being betrayed, it is once again a sign of a lack of balance in the historical facts.
Do you think people are too emotional when they look at these aspects?
I think people are fearful. People don't know what Islam is about. People don't know that all I want in life is to raise a healthy daughter, to raise a healthy son, to educate them in the worldly life about maths and sciences and geography and geometry and all that is good, and to teach them the Quran and to have them as spiritual beings who pray and fast and are devout, so that they will have righteous families and good people who will be pillars of their community and givers, not takers. That's what I want in life. I don't want anything more. I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want anyone to hurt me. I want to live a good, decent, clean life. And that's what everyone wants.
Right.
And whether you're Muslim or not, that's how we live. And not because I'm Muslim, it means I want something different. And people just don't know that because they don't know enough about us. And it's your job, which you have taken that challenge, and my job to present a true image of what we as Muslims truly believe.
And finally, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, a man chosen by God, a blessed messenger to humanity at large, not just to a certain nation, humanity at large. How was he in his own household as a family man?
He was a person who mended his own clothes, sewed his own clothes. He was a person who washed his own garments. He was a person who never had anyone carry him here or there. He didn't have an entourage. No one stood at his door as his private personal servant or guard. He prayed more in the home than outside. He cooked for his family. He cleaned for his family. He taught his family. He was a person who was balanced in every aspect of his life. There was no there was no imbalance in his life. Nothing superseded the rest. Everything was balanced in its servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a person who was respected by his enemies. They were fearful of slandering him, knowing that he was a person whose reputation would not be outshone by their minuscule words and lies and treachery. So even though they hated and had hatred for him, they could not escape the fact that they couldn't lie about him and say that he was a deceiver or a liar, when they knew that people knew him before Islam and knew him after Islam, and he remained the trustworthy and honest man that everyone respected. And I conclude this section by reminding myself and you of our duty to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says to us, "Transmit from me, carry from me to others, even if it is just a single verse that you know, what you know, let people know." And it's your mission and my mission to let people hear the words of Allah and the tradition and the sunnah and the habitual, constant way of life, the way of peace of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. So I thank you for having me here today. Our pleasure, brother.
And all of you listeners and our viewers, it's your responsibility now to go and further your research and to learn more about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Go to your sheikh in the masjid. Non-Muslims, go to your Muslim friends. Muslims, go to your non-Muslim friends and tell them about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Jazakallah khair. Islam Dunk, 2008, Toronto. Journey of Faith. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.